We know that you're the only one that can do that for us. And this morning, whatever I say, whatever I do is all in to glorify you, Father, mm-hmm. and to let you know that we love you. And not only that, but just how much you love us for the days that we live and the times that we live in. They're kind of rough for all of us. And we just lift you up this morning and ask you to bless our time this morning. Let your words come out of my mouth as you have given them to me. Not something for myself, but for these men and for you. And I give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, a couple of 3 weeks ago when we were on Zoom, I kind of started something about 1 Chronicles 13, the love chapter. And then last week, it was kind of neat because Mick said, let's talk about truth. Well, the nice part about this is you can't have one without the other. God's Amen. Truth, God's love go together. God is love, and God speaks the truth. And he speaks it in the scriptures. He speaks it in the 66 chapters as we look at it each day. But I'm going to challenge you guys. How many of you guys love each other? How many of you guys love me? How many of you guys love the guy that you're sitting next to? Amen. Look at that. We've got it together this morning. Let's not stop. We've got a good start. This is a good Amen. Place. Do I have to hide behind this thing all the time?
Yes, you do. If you want us to see you.
How about if I just pick it up and carry it around with me? It's all right. I can't see the guys' faces behind me. Maybe that's just as well. You're kind of smiling. I'm not sure what these guys are back here. But I've got a pretty good idea because I know they love me, and they probably would be here this morning if they could. Or, you know, I got my second shot of COVID yesterday, the vaccine for that, and I thought, okay, God created what I got in my arm. We yeah. want God to heal us of all the diseases out there, but he doesn't say I'm going to do it by just not showing up and just speaking out a word and curing us. All last year, I spent either time in the chemo ward or in the radiation lab. I had bladder cancer. They diagnosed it in March of last year. But by the grace of God, I stand here this morning, and I still have my bladder inside where he put it originally.
Man.
Happy for that. And because I don't want to give you a picture of what the rest of it's like. You don't need to know that. But I also know that he made the chemo treatment to help that cure, to help that healing. He helped make the machines, gave wisdom to people to make the machine. They gave off their rays that they used for radiation. But God is everywhere, and he does everything if we trust him. Man. I know initially when I started out with all of that business, the doctor was just, he was almost adamant that I had the bladder out. And I said, no, I'm going to go through whatever I have to go through, and God's going to use that. If he heals me, I praise his name.
Amen.
If he does not, I praise his name. If he wants it out, I praise his name. But the bottom line is we have to trust somebody. And if we can't trust God, who can we trust? And who can we trust without the words of God? As we look at scripture, I'll read the love chapter a little bit later, but in John 7:14-7, it says, the spirit of truth whom the world cannot see because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. All truth is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We look at the words of scripture and we wonder, why is it we don't sometimes believe what God says? We look at it and say, God is love. And yet here we are today. I'm going to ask you guys, how many came from a Christian home? How many of you had Christian teaching, had the Bible read to you? Probably 2/3 of you. That was anywhere from probably 50 to 75 years ago. Give or take a couple of readings, right? You know, I was laughing. I said, sometimes babies come out of the womb and they're crying and say, well, if your mother read to you while you were in the room, you came out saying, praise God. So the reality is, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, I think it's B, is God has put eternity in our hearts, but we don't know. Here's the tough part. We don't know what he's doing from beginning to end. where do we get an inkling of what he's been doing from beginning to end? It's right here. There's a couple of us this morning. I think Bob and I are the only two. We're studying Genesis here, right, Bob?
Right.
And I don't know how many of you guys have read through Genesis, probably at least once in your life. You've had it read to you. You've had it taught in a sermon at church. God is the same from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. But his word is what we get to chew on. His word is what we get to grow on. His word is what we develop on. It's who he is. It is his attributes. And if we don't follow those attributes, we'll sit here on a Friday morning, listen to it, and go right out that door and start thinking about our jobs, what car we're going to buy, how much money we're going to spend, what's the income tax going to be like. We have to honor God with his words. And with the truth, we can do that. And with the love, we can do that. And scripture says God is love. Do you really believe that categorically without taking any other scripture into mind? Then I guess my question is, why are you guys here this morning listening to me? You know the scriptures 10 times better than I do. In my home, I was raised in a non-Christian, non-religious home. There was no Bible in our home. I'm still wondering who gave me the words, who named me Joseph James, because there are two great biblical names. Family never went to church. Some of the words that came out of my dad's mouth were really, he was an alcoholic. I'm not trying to make this sound bad, but they were uneducated people. Bible is not in their home, in our home. And I wonder what made them not see God? Why didn't he see eternity in our hearts? Ecclesiastes 3:11. Where did that get lost? How did that not come out of their minds? Out of their hearts, out of their being. Didn't they see it every day of their lives? Now, my dad was born in 1905. And my mother was born in 1914. It was a different year, different generation, different set of ethics that were going on. And I just wonder, why is it that we can't honor God every day, walk out of this place, walk out of our homes and say, I believe what you said, God. I know you love me. What do you want me to do today?
Amen.
I'm dispensable, and love is alive. Is God love? Is God alive? Then where do we start? We start right there. In 1 John 4:18, but anyone who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. What type of love are we talking about? Agape love, God's love. When do we get that? And some of that we studied, another Bible study on Zoom with my son-in-law, Joe, and his group down in South Denver. And 3 weeks ago, they've been reading through the Bible chapter after chapter after chapter. 2 weeks ago, we did 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. The question came up by somebody, whose DNA did Adam have? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. There was no human father involved. When do we get our DNA? Who designed our DNA? God designed our whole body. God designed the DNA that we have today. And if we had not fallen in the Garden of Eden, well, we wouldn't be here for starters. We wouldn't need this. We'd be perfect. We'd have everything we needed to know. But the sense of the love that we have took me a long time. Another question I could ask you guys, did your mother ever, as far as you know, ever read to you while you were still in the womb? I'm sure she would tell you that, you know, by just her character and the years that you spent with her. What did you learn? If you did, would you not come out knowing something? Not necessarily. There's the development stage, and I don't know what that is. I'm not a physician. I can't tell you what that is. But what I do know is the only way I learn the Word of God and His character is by picking this book up, reading it in the morning, walking out of the house, telling somebody about it. I spent more than 9 months in chemo and radiation, and I met so many people that didn't know Jesus. But their hearts were in their physical problems. They didn't know what to do about it. Why am I in here taking this? Why am I in here taking that? And I don't understand, as scripture says, God is everywhere. We walk out, we could see how the world was made. We know that it had to be just something beyond random thought, if you will, random generation, random making the stars, et cetera. But for God to love us this much, to give us this, why do we not accept the word sometimes face value? It's an article written in one of the Christian magazines, says the Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God and has been affirmed repeatedly from pulpits by some of the greatest evangelists, pastors, teachers. But did you know that this important declaration presupposes two other essential doctrines of the Bible? They are preservation and clarity. By preservation means that God has supernaturally safeguarded the information he wanted in his Bible all the way back to Moses and maybe even from Adam to today. And clarity affirms that anybody can understand the plain messages of the Bible passages. And so what is it about truth and love you do not understand? In comparison to the doctrine of inspiration, clarity and preservation seem to get little respect. After all, what good is God's breathed book to a Christian or a non-Christian if it's either unintelligible or truth and love can't be found in it? Everything we read is truth and love. Everything we understand, everything that makes us who we are, defines us and defines God. There's no way we can get around the fact that, I guess for me, sometimes the best way I have to share God and share Jesus is share my life. And I'll start back from the beginning. I was born in a non-Christian home. As a young boy, there was no Christian upbringing. Somehow, in my younger age, about fourth grade, I ended up in a Catholic school. I went to a Catholic school from fourth grade to eighth grade. I learned the catechism. I saw Jesus on the cross. I saw the stations of the cross. There was certain things that we did over and over and over to reflect that there was a God. But for some reason, my mind didn't go beyond that. I didn't question what they were doing. I didn't question the fact that my sins could be forgiven by sitting in this box with another man, telling him what was going on, and he could forgive my sins. That never even dawned on me. How can somebody who's a human being like I am do that? I know my youngest grandson came from, not grandson, my youngest son-in-law came from the Catholic faith. And don't get me wrong, that is a religion, not a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are Catholics who are believers, but the reality is there was no sense of what I'm supposed to be, who I'm supposed to be, how I'm supposed to treat people. I'm supposed to love my father and mother. And so for years, I went through grade school, junior high, high school, never went to a church all those years. The year before I graduated from high school, I joined the Navy, went into the service, married my high school sweetheart, and we did not go to church for about the first 8 years of our life. My wife came from a Christian home, but it hadn't settled in her heart yet. And one of the things that was hard for me was when we get into the love passage, there was a lot of stuff missing on how I love my wife, how I love other people. Let me read. Let me read that passage for you. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and cannot fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have truth that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind.
Amen.
Does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. Does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is easily angered. Is not easily angered. Excuse me. I can't even read what I wrote here. Love is keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, which is the first thing that was brought up this morning. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will cease. They will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child.